Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Skies a jam. Dynamite dunk, and the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce.
Pistons fans, what's going on? Welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Believe. Aaron Johnson, Jasper Apollonia, here with you for this week's show. Jasper, got a lot of different things to talk about this week, as we always do with the Pistons. I know we're going to get into all of that, and we'll see where the conversation takes us. But first off, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing okay, man. Just been enjoying watching the NBA playoffs. We had some blowout games, but we've had some really close games. Two classics, honestly, man, in the Knicks, you know, first Philly series. And then, of course, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to forget the Denver-LA game. I mean, what a hell of a comeback and what a shot by Jamal Murray. Hey, man, it's been fun. We are getting I am praying for this. I'm praying for this. I don't like the Heat. Let me get this like off my chest right now. I don't care for the Miami Heat. Pat Riley, his slicked back hair, it's stained with the blood of innocence for all I know. But boy, the Celtics losing to the Heat, it really never gets old, does it?
It's something about Boston. You know, they can be the one seed. They can win 60 games. They can win 70 games. And I still feel like I don't trust this team to get anyone, especially against the Miami Heat. But yeah, I love the playoffs being here. It's there's just something different about it. I love the way that the physicality revs up and the refs hold back their whistles a little bit more. I love that when we just get one more pure basketball in that way. And we're going to talk about the Pistons in the playoffs, not something that we get to do very often. Obviously, the Pistons are not a playoff team. We're going to have a little bit of a discussion centered around the Pistons and maybe what they can learn from these teams in the playoffs and just watching these playoffs in general. But before we get into all that conversation more, I do want to talk about our sponsor this week. Give them a quick shout out. That's Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all of your summer sports betting this season, MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoffs. All of the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And while we're talking about Bet Online, saw an interesting line come out from them real quick that I think we just need to discuss real quick. They listed the favorites to land Draymond Green if he were to leave Golden State. And the Pistons were the favorites at plus 500. Draymond Green and the Pistons, real quick, Jasper, how do we feel about that? Because I hate it.
It's all price tag dependent, but yeah, I mean, I could see where it makes sense. Like, look, this is a team that has struggled to have any sort of identity for the last 4 years. I mean, further than that, let's be honest, since Blake Griffin fell off a cliff. It's an interesting idea. I'll say this, because you bring in Draymond Green a lot of the issues that I think the Pistons, especially their young players, and we're going to be talking about a couple of them today, a lot of those issues that they've been facing, I think Draymond Green could represent a sort of shift in that mentality. Jalen Duren playing the weakest rim protection and not getting out on shooters, that is not going to fly if Draymond Green is next to him. That is a dude that is going to light a fire under your ass, whether you want him to or not. You talk about, you know, the basketball IQ aspect of the Pistons, a team that has struggled with that aspect of the game over recent years. Talk about a team that needs coaching. Draymond Green is the closest thing you get behind, you know, Chris Paul and LeBron James to a coach on the floor. So I see the idea there. I know you're not into it.
My problem. I'll keep it short and sweet. If I could count on Draymond to show up to work every day and contribute, I'd be all for it. And when he's on the court, he is a useful player. And I agree with some of the stuff that you were saying. But here's the problem with Draymond. He doesn't always show up to work. He gets suspended. He gets a bunch of technical fouls. And he makes himself look like an idiot out there from time to time. And that's disappointing because when he's on the court, he's a really good player. And he impacts winning. And there's a reason that he was such an impactful player over throughout his career in Golden State. But at this point, after the season that he just had and the way that he presented himself, I don't want him near my team because I cannot trust him to be on the court. And I cannot trust him to be a leader for a team that desperately needs to add, you know, some veteran leadership type of guys to the roster. So I'll keep it short and sweet there. Not a really a main topic for the show. Just thought I'd bring it up since we're talking about our great sponsors, BetOnline.
Quick question for you. This is a team that desperately needs a lot of things. Let's be honest. They won 14 games. They need pretty much everything. Who would you rather be paying $30 million a year for the next 2 years to? Draymond Green, who gives you all those intangibles, gives you the great defense, gives you leadership of a sort, gives you toughness, gives you great passing, basketball IQ. Well, sometimes. Or would you rather pay $30 million a year over the next 2 years to Tobias Harris?
Ooh, okay. I thought you were going to ask about another Warrior in Klay Thompson, and I was really interested to have that discussion. But
no.
Well, we'll talk about Tobias Harris. I think I'd rather have Tobias Harris for $30 million for 2 years. Look, I think Tobias gives you some decent things on offense. He'd be coming into a situation where he might just need a change of scenery at this point. He's obviously not a one guy. He's not a two guy. He's a 3-4 guy and maybe just isn't working out for him in Philadelphia at this point. I don't know. I'm very anti-Draymond Green. That's not to come off as super pro Tobias Harris. But I think I'd rather take Tobias Harris at that price point for that long over Draymond. Draymond's just on the outside looking in for me.
For me, it would depend who else you're bringing in. Like Draymond without shooters is just not the same player. Yeah, that's
Here, there's only so many shooters on the team. You're already trying to play, you know, Asar Thompson, Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart all together in a backcourt that doesn't also have, you know, surefire shooters either. So it gets tougher there. But I'm sure we'll talk about Tobias Harris a few more times as we get towards free agency and all that good stuff. We're going to talk about the Pistons offseason overall today. There's a really interesting topic of discussion that I'm excited to get into surrounding the young core on this Pistons roster. Before we get into that, though, I did want to ask the listeners a few favors. First off, first things first, palaceofpistons.com. It's in the bio of wherever you're listening or watching the show. In the show description, palaceofpistons.com. Please take 10 seconds, click on that link, type in your email, hit subscribe to our newsletter. Really, really helps us grow our page, really helps us continue to do great things. And we have good work there that we want you guys to read. We want our people to read and let us know what they think. So definitely go check that out at palaceofpistons.com. And then a special note for, you know, wherever you're listening or watching, hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, YouTube, Spotify, wherever. Give us that 10 seconds of your time. It helps us more than you could possibly know, and it's free to you. So please take a moment to subscribe. We appreciate that. And as always, you can follow us on our socials at Palace of Pistons on X, on TikTok, on Facebook. Give us all a follow there. Well, we have a lot of good discussion on the page, on our own pages as well, that you'll see on Palace of Pistons. So that's what we need from you before we get into everything. Thanks so much.
Aaron, and we're lucky to have as many people as we do who do tune into this show on a weekly basis and who do read our stuff. And so, yeah, if you're one of those people and you're not subscribed, like, just hit it. You're already going to listen. Costs right. you nothing, but it helps us a lot.
You're on the page you need to be on. Just click the button. Click the button. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into it because there is a really good discussion, I think, to have here. There's been a lot of talk surrounding the moves that the Pistons need to make this summer. There's been so much speculation, so much reporting around. But Pistons are anticipated to do some major things this summer with a new president of basketball operations in place. I think something that's we started talking about a little bit towards the end of the season and is starting to become a bigger topic now is the potential need to move off some of these young guys in Detroit's quote-unquote core four of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Asar Thompson, and Jalen Duren, and moving off either one or two of those guys to make a big move for the roster, to improve the roster. And the two most popular names being thrown around in discussions like that are seemingly Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren. Ivey by far the most popular as the odd man out of this Pistons core right now. But Jalen Duren kind of worked his way in there as well towards the end of the season. And those are the two names that people are suggesting be moved to try to make a big move to acquire a big name player to put around Cade Cunningham and whatever else the Pistons put on this roster. So I think the first question is, should Detroit be trying to dangle the likes of Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren on the trade market, or is it too soon to be giving up on them? I mean, Ivey and Duren just finished their second year in the league. They just, you know, they've had two coaches in 2 years. Like, it's not unfair to say that they haven't been put in the best situation for their player development. But at the same time, for a Pistons team trying to fast-track themselves to results, might have to cut bait here and sacrifice two members of the core if you're going to improve this roster. And Ivey and Duren seem like the most likely candidates at this juncture.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you know, James Edwards III, he put out an article this week kind of outlining one of his ideas, which was trading Ivey, Duren, and hypothetically, the number one overall pick in this year's draft for Mikal Bridges and Dorian Finney-Smith, as well as a top 14 protected Phoenix Suns pick in 2025. It's an interesting thought, and I really see this as being one of those moments for Pistons fans where there's going to be very distinct, separate camps. This is something I feel like comes up every few years as the Pistons kind of have to make that decision to which, you know, which pathway they're going to take in their future. And this is certainly one of those times because you do, as we outlined on last week's podcast, you need to start making decisions and you need to make concrete decisions quickly. I think of in regards to Jaden Ivey, I'll start with him first. And I think you brought up a good point there in the sense of like, they haven't been put in the best situation. I think of Jaden Ivey very much in the same vein as a player that coincidentally the Pistons and Pistons fans are probably thinking about going after this offseason, Malik Monk, who is a player that fit a very similar profile when he was drafted by the Charlotte Hornets as a very athletic guard who didn't quite fit the two guard mold, didn't quite fit the one guard mold, could be explosive, could make some plays. And when he was with Charlotte, he was just never put into a position to really succeed. Now you look at him with Sacramento, that dude's getting paid this offseason. There's no question about it. He's one of the best sixth men in the league. He is crucial to what they do. That team can't operate in the same way that they do. I know that they're not in the playoffs right now, but they would be so far behind even where they are, where they were last year, if they didn't have Malik Monk. So that, I think, is my number one thing with Jaden Ivey and like trading him. Yes, he hasn't been put into the best situations. Yes, he still has so much upside, but is this the right team for him? And I think that's really the question that you have to ask yourself as a Pistons fan before you start moving off of him. And I think it is a different discussion than it is with Jalen Duren, is because with Jalen Duren, it comes down more to like, do you believe this guy can develop into a rim protector? Do you believe he can develop into a top center? It's not quite the same with Jaden Ivey, is it? He feels a lot more situationally dependent. And when I think about, say, a potential trade like that, I think there's a lot to look at there. And I can see the upsides and downsides of both views, because if you do pull off a trade like that, and then let's say you spend your cap space this offseason on Tobias Harris, which we already talked about, and also Nick Claxton, who was a player that I think we've all kind of been a little interested in, somebody that James threw out in that piece, maybe even an Isaiah Hartenstein. We'll see what the price tag is there. We'll see if he even wants to leave New York. But like, if you could bring in a couple of legit wings, you can bring in a defensive-minded center, I think that there's a lot of room for growth there. It just comes down to, are you willing to give up on a 20-year-old Jalen Duren? Are you willing to give up on a 22-year-old Jaden Ivey? And even within those questions, there arises the question of like, what is going to happen with this president of basketball operations? Is Monty Williams going to be there? Because if Monty Williams is there next year, I'm a lot more inclined to move off of Jaden Ivey than I am if he's gone and you're bringing in a coach who has actual ideas and, God forbid, actually watched game film from the year before of somebody like Jaden Ivey. I mean, boy, that quote of like, oh, I didn't know Jaden could play make, like, that will never leave my mind when it comes to Monty Williams.
Yeah, here's my thoughts. I think the time is now. If you're going to move off of any of your young pieces, it's got to be now. If you sit another year and you wait and you win, let's say you improve to 20 wins with the same core, what does that tell you? Like, it's going to be year four for Kay this upcoming year. It's going to be year three for Ivy and Durant. Like, you can't give 5 years for these guys to figure it out and put it together. They just haven't proven that they're blue chip enough assets to do that. So if you're going to improve the roster, if you are going to get better, if you are going to build around Cade Cunningham, if you are going to prove to him that he should sign here long term, you've got to make major, major moves. And the easiest way to do that is to use a few pieces in your asset collection, like Ivy, like Duren, to improve the roster. Yeah, you can do it in free agency, but the problem in free agency is, A, this is not a very good free agency class, and B, you're already likely going to have to overpay for some of these players that you do sign simply because of the situation you're in, being a very bad team. You are not a big market. You are not a destination city. You are not, an attractive landing spot with these high-level players that are waiting for, just trying to add a few pieces to go on a big playoff run. Like, you are the laughingstock of the league last season, and you are a smaller market. You're going to have to overpay already. We know that based off history. So the easiest path for the Pistons to get better, on top of trying to build and add pieces in free agency, is to use some of the pieces that they have on their roster and try to take a swing on a guy, going after a guy from, there's teams that are going to have to make some tough decisions, whether it's Brandon Ingram or Karl Anthony Towns or Donovan Mitchell. Like, guys are going to become available because teams have to make cap decisions. Teams decide that they want to go in a different direction. There will be opportunities. You have to be ready to strike when the iron's hot. And when it comes down to, do you have enough assets to get there? You're not going to. Ivy and Duren aren't going to be enough to land you top 10 player, top 20 player that somehow becomes available. But they're still going to be able to get you good pieces. And if you can come out of the summer with a guy like Brandon Ingram and Nick Claxton, and you have Cade Cunningham, and you find a couple other pieces, like, maybe getting Brandon Ingram doesn't cost you both Ivy and Duren. But if you end up using just one of them and trading just one of them to, as part of a package with your first round pick to get a big name, like, you have to do something to make a significant improvement to this roster. And getting one of those fringe all-star guys, or those guys that have been an all-star once or twice in their career already, like, getting one of those guys would be absolutely massive for this team. And the pathway to doing it this offseason is in the trade market. It's not going to be in free agency.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I like that you brought up Brandon Ingram, because that is a player to me that I think is very gettable for the Pistons. You look at kind of what's going on with the Pelicans, and like I know Zion is out, but like they have issues at center. Jonas Valanciunas just is not going to cut it for that team moving forward, in my opinion. Super skilled offensive player, don't get me wrong. And let's remember, he worked Durin when they played each other. But like, I think if I'm New Orleans, and I think if I'm the Pistons as well, I could sell myself on the idea of like, okay, Brandon Ingram, maybe it's time to move on. Something like Durin, number one pick for, say, Brandon Ingram, I could definitely see that moving the needle. Maybe you don't even do that. Maybe, you know, you do something like, God, if you could do something like, you know, Durin, a pick, Ivy for Brandon Ingram and one of their other wings. Like, that's hard to imagine that the Pelicans would do it. But I think that there are packages out there that definitely could work. This is probably a bad thing to admit as a podcaster, but like, I am not necessarily sold on either perspective here, because I think that there is a lot of room to work here. It's not one of those, you need to, you know, it's not a clear cut decision either way. After Blake Griffin was bought out by the Pistons, there was only one pathway forward. You had to tank. And the way that you were going to tank, sure, you could argue the minutia there, but it was obvious what you had to do. I don't think it's as obvious here, because we do talk about the Pistons having these young players that are going into year three, year four. You don't have to make a decision on them quite yet. Cade is going to come up at the end of next offseason, of course, probably during this season, if we're being honest. He's going to get extended. I think that you could give yourself a little bit of flexibility here by signing a couple guys to two-year deals, three-year deals. And you can hold on to Ivy, hold on to Jalen Duren for another season. Obviously, you're taking a risk about, you know, tanking their tradability even more. But if one of those guys pops and really takes that next step, if you're signing a Tobias Harris for 2 years and say signing, it's hard to believe Nick Claxton would take a 2-year deal, to be completely honest with you, but maybe you figure something else out. Maybe there is another trade you can make there with a center that is only signed for another year, another 2 years, say, for a good amount of money. That way you can use your cap space effectively to bring in players, even in a weaker free agency class, and also hold on to your guys while maintaining the flexibility to re-sign them and to potentially trade them during the season or next offseason. So I don't think that there is really this is the right move, this is the wrong move. I think that there is a middle path here that a potential president of basketball operations, GM, whatever it may be, can find to where maybe you do move off one of the young guys, but you don't necessarily have to move off both of them. And maybe you do get the number one pick, and that can provide you with additional flexibility even there. I actually think it's one of those draft classes where it being so weak almost plays into a little bit, like it's a little bit better for you as the Pistons, because yes, you're not getting a super impactful guy at number one, but if you do get the number one pick, you don't have to worry necessarily so much about passing up on a generational superstar if you do trade that pick, right? Like, you can trade back in the draft. You could get another draft pick and get one of those guys a little bit later and still feel pretty good about where you're at. So I think there's just a lot of different possibilities here. I'm not necessarily sold on one. Aaron, it does seem to me like, however, you seem pretty certain that you got to move off of at least one of these guys, right? And I also would ask you a question. Is it too soon for you to throw Asar Thompson into the mix as well?
It's not. It's not. I think the Pistons should be looking at any and every avenue to improving this roster. And, I mean, let's face it, like, in all honesty, nobody on this team is untouchable. Cade is obviously the only guy where it's like, it's got to be a pretty significant offer to consider moving off of him. Everyone else should be being dangled in these trade talks to improve the roster. And it's just hard for me to look at the season that the Pistons just had and be in the spot where they're at and say they can come into next year with all of their core guys back and have used that top five pick and then make some moves pretty much around the margins in free agency because there's not that all-star level guy to go get and say, okay, we're going to take a major step this year. I just don't see that being real plausible. And I'd also have to imagine that whoever this new president of basketball operations is going to want to have a different type of philosophy than what Troy Weaver had. And Troy Weaver was all about building through the draft. And that's all he has to show for his tenure. Like, this guy coming in is going to feel the pressure from the organization, from Tom Bors, that there has to be some major progress and it has to happen soon. I'm not saying that they have to make the playoffs next year, but they can't win sub 20 games again. Like, it's just not acceptable. So you can't expect the new hobo to come in and put all his chips in on these young guys just taking steps forward and using the cap space, even if this team does add a Tobias Harris. Like, that gets them to 20 wins. Like, 20 wins with Tobias Harris in this four, that's not really getting you anywhere. And then you're going to have another season of these young guys not being able to win. And I don't think that helps their trade value. So I think the new president of basketball operations is going to come in and he's going to have to make a significant move. And, you know, I think even if they did trade the top pick, even if they landed the number one pick, in order to get a real guy, they're probably going to have to throw someone like Ivy or Durin in the trade. And if you're getting a real guy, it's worth it. You have to start putting NBA players and good players around Cade Cunningham to see if he is the guy to build with and around these other high-level players. If Cade can't win with other high-level players and a competent team around him, then that's another discussion on another, you know, on another point in time. But all signs point to Cade being worth that investment. And if these guys aren't able to catch up to him and perform at that level and meet those expectations, then they got to find new homes. You can't win sub 20 games again and just act as if everything's fine.
I think the only unacceptable option for this future president of basketball operations is kind of exactly what you just outlined there. The only unacceptable option, because I can be talked into a lot of different outlooks on this team. I can be talked into a lot of future moves, a lot of philosophies. I think that there is room for discernment here. The one thing you cannot do is what you just said. You can't run all four of them back and also use the number one pick. Something has to give there. Like, you can't just surround these guys with Jags, just another guys. Like, that is the one thing that immediately will sour me on whoever the new leader of this franchise in the front office is. It's the only thing you cannot do. You're 100% correct. There needs to be impact moves. And I don't think it can be a thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, like you said, we signed Tobias Harris in the offseason, like a couple of whatever shooters. Like, no, there needs to be at least two impact players coming in here. And whether that happens via combination of free agency and trade, or if somehow you can figure it all out via free agency, I think that's going to be very difficult to do, but it is possible. It is plausible. There's got to be something to give here because, like you said, there needs to be impact players. I don't even think like 25 wins, which would be an 11 win improvement, by the way, which is very difficult to do in the NBA. Very few teams improve by double digit wins year, you know, from one year to the next. It just doesn't happen very often. But you need to be putting yourself into a position to be winning like 30 games next year. I just think it has to happen. Otherwise, you are looking at potentially Cade Cunningham being the first guy to turn down a max, you know, that rookie max extension, the super max, or saying, hey, I'll sign, but like, you got to trade me basically right after it. So Pistons are in a very precarious position. There are a lot of avenues forward here, but I think we're in total agreement on the one avenue they cannot take forward, which is basically what Troy Weaver's been doing, which is just saying, well, I'll bring in this guy and that guy. I'll, you know, throw a few flyers out there, but I'm going to focus entirely on the draft as my saving grace. That's the one thing that cannot happen. Internal improvement and a draft pick will not cut it.
Just a couple names as some of the headliners in free agency. There are, you know, the crop of guys that are either restricted free agents or guys that just, like, they're not going to be Pistons. Like, LeBron James has a player option. Tyrese Maxey is a restricted free agent. But talking about guys that, like, there's a realm in which they do end up being Pistons, that's your crop of Nick Claxton, Tobias Harris, Miles Bridges, Buddy Hield, Isaiah Hartenstein, Malik Monk. Those are kind of like the top free agents of guys that are probably like options for most teams to target. There are a few other guys that are going to end up where, you know, they already are. Paul George is a player option. James Harden's a free agent. Like, those guys aren't moving. And if they do, they're not moving to a team like Detroit. So, like, outside of those names that I mentioned, a guy like, you know, maybe DeMar DeRozan, DeAnthony Melton, like, that's the free agency crop. It's not great, and that's why it's just not realistic to say, hey, we're running it back with the core. We had another top pick, and look, we brought in Tobias Harris and Kyle Anderson. Like, we're ready to go. Like, it's just not a realistic option to take a step forward that the Pistons need to make in the next season.
I mean, look, I'll say this. If you can trade, you know, Durin and Ivy for Brandon Ingram, you bring in whoever you do with the number one pick, and in the offseason, you sign Buddy Hield, Tobias Harris, and even Nick Claxton. Like, it's within the realm of possibility. Pistons have $60 million to work with. I think that's a very, very appealing offseason for me. You add two really good shooters. You add another guy in Brandon Ingram who can work as a, you know, kind of 1A, 1B on any given night next to somebody like Cade Cunningham. And then if you're also bringing in Nick Claxton, like, look at that. Like, you have a good rim protector there. Like I said, I think there's a lot, even with a limited free agency class, I do think if the Pistons play their cards right, there is something to work with here. Maybe you don't even trade Ivy. Maybe you can do something like the number one pick and Jalen Duren for Brandon Ingram. I don't know what the trade package would look like. I don't have those insider sources, but like, I think there's a lot of paths forward here. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see who is brought in as the president of basketball operations and what their first moves are. Because let us forget, like, the NBA draft lottery is coming up on what, May 14th, I believe. It's not that far off, and I would very much like to have somebody in place by the time that rolls around, so you have somebody who kind of has an idea of what they're going to do with that pick.
Agreed, and unfortunately, we don't really have any real update on the president of basketball operations search. All we've seen are just kind of like some speculatory names as guys that the Pistons might be interested in, maybe the search firm has talked to or at least called on. But there's been no like official updates on guys that have been interviewed for the position or anything like that. So you'd like to hear something soon, as you said, Jasper, but we don't have any update to provide.
Well, I think
what you guys think, like, are you in favor of the Pistons moving on from Durin or Ivy or even Asar Thompson, or do you think that core is worth giving another year or two to develop and give them that one last chance, potentially with a new GM and a new head coach, to see if there's something there? So very curious what you guys have to say. Tweet us at Palace of Pistons. If you're watching on YouTube, comment down below. Tell us what you think. Very curious what everyone has to say on that. I know it's going to be a divisive topic. I know there are going to be people on both sides that have very, very strong opinions on the situation.
Who knows? Maybe the reason we haven't gotten an update is because Tom Gorris is out there feeding the homeless. You know, that's he's just a very giving guy. I heard he's down in Miami. I heard he's down in Miami building children's playgrounds like he was Jimmy Carter at 95. Like just.
All right. I think that's our cue to move on. Enough roster talk, enough Tom Gorse talk for the show. We kind of teased it earlier, but we wanted to talk about the playoffs, the play-in tournament, and what the Pistons can learn. I think as a young team that Detroit is, they're trying to take that step. They've said they've been trying to take that step, have been unable to, but they're seeing a couple of young teams absolutely thrive. Obviously, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the biggest example of that. One of the youngest teams in the league with three very young core guys leading the way. And they are winning their series against the Pelicans up 2-0, playing really, really good basketball. All three of SGA, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams have had their moments in the playoffs, and they look like a real contender. We also have a team like Orlando in the East who they've lost a couple of games to Cleveland, but the fact that they won 45 games this year and were a top four seed in the East or a top five seed in the Eastern Conference, like that speaks a lot to what they've been able to do. What can the Pistons look at from both those teams? And if there's another team you're thinking of that made it to the play-in, made it to the playoffs, what can they learn and how they move forward, whether it's roster construction or on the court stuff?
Identity and leadership. Like I hate to be the guy who's out here saying like it comes down to intangibles, but to a certain extent, it does, especially when you get to the playoffs. I was listening to the Mind the Game podcast with JJ Redick and LeBron James. And interestingly enough, their last episode, they were talking about the NBA playoffs and really what goes into it. And one of those things that really struck me, it was LeBron talking so much about how preparation matters, IQ matters. And I think that that is really something that the Pistons could learn from, especially looking at those two teams, one that's probably going to get swept out of the playoffs, maybe win one game in Orlando, and another one that's almost certainly going to win their series in Oklahoma City. I think that there's a lot to learn from that. Both those teams have really good coaches. And, you know, Mark Danino out of Oklahoma City, I think is just fantastic. I mean, that guy just, he knows how to coach.
Bagnell would have been the absolute best Pistons coach. I mean, I just envision him after seeing what he's done in Oklahoma City. Man, I wish he found his way to Detroit because he is an incredible coach. I mean, what he's done over there, it cannot go unnoticed. I mean, obviously you can see it in where they stand, but he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a very good chance he's coach of the year. I would be shocked if anyone else is, to be completely honest with you. That's the kind of job he's done in Oklahoma City. But yeah, I think it really comes down to that identity. Like, yes, Orlando's not going to win their series against Cleveland. That's fine. They're a very young team. But they are a team that now has tasted the playoffs. They are a team with identity. They're a team that knows what they have to do to get better moving forward. They're well coached. They are consistent in what they do. And they just have that it factor about them where you know they're going to be back. And the next time they get to the playoffs, they're probably not going to lose that series unless they're going up against a really, really, really good team. So for me, I look at teams like that and I just am forced to look at what the Pistons don't have. What they don't have is a coach with a clear-cut identity, a coach who is going to prepare for every single game. Bringing it back to that podcast, like JJ Redick said, I didn't realize that Stan Van Gundy coached every single game like he was coaching a playoff game. So when you get to the playoffs, it's just another game. There's no additional coaching that you need to do. You're already in that mindset when you get there. boy, I can't think of a team that has less of a cohesive mindset from game to game than the Detroit Pistons under Monty Williams. You know, that identity aspect of it, that defensive aspect of it, where you need to be locked in every single possession. There is a reason we're talking about Jalen Duren in trade talks. It's because that dude does not lock in. Does not lock in. He has good stretches, he gets bad stretches. Jaden Ivey, good stretches, bad stretches. Talk about, I mean, court IQ. How many bloopers and blunders did this team have this year? So I look at those two teams, and I am more forced to look at what the Pistons don't have and what they need to bring in more than anything else. And more so than that, I am not sure that 75% of the roster, and honestly, I'm probably being generous there, has what it takes to make it to the playoffs and win in the playoffs.
That's my big...
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Takeaway. This team is so far away from being at these playoff teams level. Like, I mean, the Pelicans are down 2-0, and that team, New Orleans, would wipe the floor with Detroit in a 7-game series.
Even without Zion.
Yes. That's my takeaway, is the Pistons are so far away right now. And you could say, oh, they have core guys, like, they can get there. Yeah, maybe one day. If they all hit on their ceilings and the rest of the roster is built around them perfectly, yes. But you're looking at a team in New Orleans with, even without Zion Williamson, CJ McCollum, household name, Brandon Ingram, household name, Jonas Valanciunas has a very long track record of being a very productive player. Two young wings in Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, who are very highly regarded young prospects on the wing. And they're getting wiped off the court. There is a level to this in the NBA. And the Pistons are unfortunately very, very, very far behind. Now, that doesn't mean they need to try to fast track it and take all these big time risks and say, oh, well, we're just going to go get big names now. Let's trade for Zach LaVine. Let's trade for Brandon Ingram. And let's sign, or let's trade for Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, let's trade for two of these guys and bring in Klay Thompson or whatever and just go for it. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But the realization needs to be, like, whoever is coming in, it's probably not realistic to think you're turning this around in a year. Maybe even two. It's going to take some time. And you have to be willing to move off guys, invest in guys that are at the level of these teams in the playoffs. And outside of Cade Cunningham and a few other guys, it's very hard to look at that roster. Like you said, you know, 75% of those guys on the roster are not contributing in the playoffs to a playoff team. You could say Cade Cunningham will. You can say Isaiah Stewart will. You can say Simone Fontecchio will. You can make the case for guys like Ivy and Duren, although I don't think either of them start on a playoff team. Obviously, guys like Quentin Grimes and Marcus Sasser don't start on the playoff team. So the Pistons are very far away, is what I've learned. But they can also win with young guys leading them. Like, Cade Cunningham can lead in the same way Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner do. Cade Cunningham can be the guy the same way SGA and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren are for OKC. Like, they don't have to go out and get the biggest names. But if they build around Cade properly, invest and spend that time, and probably get a new coach as well, like, there's a pathway to getting there. But they're very far away right now. That's the unfortunate reality there when I watch the playoffs.
You need guys who know what their roles are and execute them game in, game out. I think it's really as simple as that. And the Pistons just straight up don't have those guys right now. Like, they really do not. Cade, yes. Like you said, I think Isaiah Stewart, Simone Fontecchio, yes, those guys do it. Anybody else on this roster? Like, really? Anybody else? And I still believe in the talent of Jalen Duren. I still believe in the talent of Jaden Ivey. But do I believe in their mentality? I don't think I do. Do I believe at this point that those guys 100% have the ability to lock in game to game? Forget 82 games, 7-game series. From possession to possession, I don't see it from them. And it's just very, very, it's hard watching these playoffs. It really is, because it really does show you just how far away the Pistons are and just what a mountain to climb.
Teams that are down 2-0, it's like all of these teams are so far and away better than Detroit. How do you get there? And how do you tell yourself you can get there with a core that just won 14 games? And I get it. I really, really do. I don't want to ever sound like I don't understand that this core has been put in an absolutely terrible spot by the leadership. Like, they were given a horrid roster around them, and I totally understand that. But the NBA is a results-driven profession, and the results have not been good. The young guys have not been able to rise above the rest. Other teams, you know, like Orlando's roster is not a kick-ass roster. Like, Paolo and Franz are good. They have some other good pieces, definitely better pieces than Detroit. Don't get that mistaken. But, like, they don't have, like, this incredible, incredible roster. But they win. And the young guys rose above, carried their weight, and led the way. And despite, you know, maybe not having the greatest roster, they won 40-something games this year. And, you know, I just think it's going to be hard for the Pistons to do that with this group, especially with all the bad habits that have come upon this team at this point in time. So
bad habits arise from bad coaching, honestly, and guys just not knowing what they're supposed to be doing on the court. And I think Orlando is the perfect example of what Detroit needs to be trying to do moving forward. Because like you said, they don't have a superstar backcourt. They have a bunch of guys in the backcourt. But guess what? Those guys know what they are supposed to do every single night, and they go out and they do it to the best of their ability. I am not convinced that Paolo Banchero is a meaningfully better player than Cade Cunningham. There are reasons to argue for Paolo. There are reasons to argue for Cade. But what has Orlando surrounded Paolo with? They've surrounded him with, and it's just not just like the starters. It's the guys you go down the roster. Goga Bitadze knows what he's supposed to do. Mo Wagner knows what he's supposed to do. Cole Anthony knows what he's supposed to do. Jalen Suggs knows what he's supposed to do. And they do it every single night. So even if they lose this playoff series, guess what? They're going to be back, because they have an identity. They have a core, and they have players that now, because they've tasted a little bit of success, are going to hold each other accountable. So even if certain guys come to the roster and leave the roster, it's not going to matter, because they have the core in place and they know exactly what the guys who are coming in need to do. Shoot, Jonathan Isaac. I didn't even mention Jonathan Isaac. Like, they're all guys, and they're guys who have something very concrete in the way that they play basketball. You know what they're going to give you every single night. How many guys on the Pistons roster can you really say that for?
It's a very fair point, and it's something that I think we'll be talking about throughout the offseason as the Pistons undergo what should be a major, major roster overhaul. That's everything that we had on the docket for the show. Jasper, anything else you wanted to bring up before we head off for the week?
Well, quick question for you. Who do you think the Lions are taking tonight? I'm going to put you in a no-win situation because this podcast is coming out after the first round is over. So either you're going to get it right and everyone's going to be like, well, I don't care. The draft already happened. Or you're going to get it wrong and everyone's going to think you're an idiot.
Guy, the offensive lineman from Duke. I read one mock draft. And they're going to take that offensive lineman from Duke. And if they don't, I couldn't tell you. I did not get into the weeds with the Lions draft situation this year. It's trusting Brad Holmes and onward from there. I'm not going to concern myself with that. I got to worry about too many prospects in this NBA draft when there's like 12 guys that are maybe going to be worth a top five pick. So there's a lot of guys to watch film on there.
That's a good point. It is nice, I will say, as somebody who has grown up in Detroit, followed the Lions for as long as I have, to not like be obsessing over who they're going to take in the draft. I genuinely cannot remember a single year in my entire life where this was not the case, where you just went, you know what, man? Brett Holmes got me. Brett Holmes is going to pick somebody good. I'm cool. It's going to be fine. Like, this never happened before in my entire life. What a weird concept. I feel the same way. I don't know who the hell they're going to take. And honestly, that's okay. Go ahead.
Brad, that's all you can do at this point. Before we go, did want to give one more quick shout out, palaceofpistons.com. Follow us on our Substack. Follow us on YouTube on all our social pages. Really appreciate your support each and every week. Should have some more stuff coming out on the newsletter at the beginning of next week. So stay tuned for that. Very, very excited for the offseason coverage that we'll be bringing you all around the Detroit Pistons, the NBA draft, free agency, and Summer League as well. One of my favorite times of the year for a Pistons team that always has a bunch of prospects playing in it. But for my co-host, Jasper Apollonia, I'm Aaron Johnson. Thanks so much for listening to this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast brought to you by Bleav. Make sure to check out our sponsor, Bet Online, and get in on the action over there. We will see you all next week for another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.